Prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the, you know, truth of God's word. I will declare and decree today at the end of this meeting that since we are edified, and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. John 3:16. John 3:16. We're starting a new series today, right? The series we look of God. The love of God. The love of God. The love of God. Right? We just wrapped up the teaching on, you know, the spiritual gifts. Is that correct?
Yes,
yeah. You know, like I said, over time, there are certain topics as a church, as a local church over the past few years, you know, we ensure that we do over and over and over and over again. Have the series titled the way we title it every year the same. For instance, one of the very, very elementary teachings we did on the spiritual gifts was titled Concerning Spirituals, right? But we had some before that we don't have the recordings available online. I just have them in our archive, you know. But we now started building on it again, some 3-4 years ago, even 5, Concerning Spiritual Series 1. Then this series took probably 2 years ago, even last year. Then we called this one Spiritual Gifts. Now, for this particular one, we paid attention to the revelation gifts, right? We paid attention to the revelation gifts, and we saw the practice of it, okay? Yeah? And we took 6 to 8 weeks of our Sundays to practice. Is that correct? Yeah? And we could see the growth. We could see the growth. For a lot of us who, you know, participated in all the meetings, we could see the growth from the first day to the 8th day, right? They say 8th is new beginning. Are we together, right? But we'll see the growth particularly. And one of the things you must take from that series, I don't know where my voice went to, but one of the things you must take from that series is the fact that you only get better in the things of the spirit by practice. You only get better by practice. I've had people reach out to me and say, Pastor, how are you? Yeah, but the truth is that me 10 years ago, right, I wasn't as accurate as I am today. And trust me, I can tell you for free, I'll be more accurate in the next 10 years. Yeah. That's the truth. Are we together? That's the truth. Yeah? Because everything you give your commitment to, you get better at it. Like I would always say, even if it's what?
Stealing.
Yeah? Anything you give your consistency to, you get better at it. Everything. Anything. You know how it is when you go to the gym? The first day you go to the gym and you try to lift up something, what happens? You know, some of you, when you get back home, you cannot lift the hand. Right? Your hand is just... Then you'll not be working. But what happens? Do it 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months, 5 months, 6 months. What happens? You start standing in front of the mirror and you're like... You know, you can have that physique in the spirit as well. You can build muscles that way in the spirit as well. Yeah? You know, someone asked me, how do you get better in the place of prayer? And, you know, I told them something. And I said, if you want to get better in the place of prayer, pray about it. Are you here? How do you get better in your prayer life? Pray about it. If it's not getting better, what happens? You pray about the fact that it's not getting better. Because the solution to building a prayer culture in your home, in your life, is actually the practice of prayer. Are we together? So that's why some of you that used to meet me, you know, I would always say, we pray so that we can pray and then pray some more. To finally pray, to continue praying. Are we together? Because the more you pray, you ask yourself a question. Pastor, I can't pray for 10 minutes in a day. Well, start for 1 minute. Do it consistently. Build it to 4 minutes. Do it consistently. Build it to 10 minutes. You'll find out you're praying an hour every day. Well, start from 5 minutes a day. Get into 10 minutes a day. Get into 15 minutes a day. Goal is the fact that practice makes better. You know, in our world, we say practice makes what?
Perfect.
Well, the truth is that because there's always going to be more, we can stay with practice makes what?
Better.
Are we together? Right? So this month as well, we're going to be looking at the series, The Love of God. What exactly is the love of God? Now, why is this series? Excuse me. Why is this series? Why is this series an important series? Now, some of us understand the love of God based on strange things. Are we together? How many of you, some, don't, I'm not saying now, if you are among them now, but don't lift your hands. Well, how many of you, whilst you were still younger in the faith, you say, God, to prove that you love me, let me get this job. Oh, you said it last week. God, to prove that your love for me, your love overwhelm me, your goodness everywhere I go. Yeah? Lord, to prove your love for me, let me get this job. And what happens? The job doesn't now come. What did I say? I say, God has a better plan. Well, the enemy meant for evil. You know, some of us know how to program ourselves. You know, Lord, as I step out, the man I sit beside in the bus, he's my partner. Are you, as you're entering bus, you are seeing different men. You are now knowing the city you go to. You are seeing, you first, the bus that is big. You saw empty seats here with different men at different positions. Right? Then you now go and check upstairs. You now go upstairs, you now be checking. Ah, God, you know your word is sharper. It's sharper. God, now help you. Finally sit down in the place waiting for the brother to come on the bus. And the sister comes beside you. Are we together? So God, what are you saying? He's not saying anything. Some of us, we understand. You know, how many of you used to do draw the sword? You know, it's a thing we do with our kids. Draw the sword. First of all, some of you, I know you not do draw the sword. When I see how you, when I say go to Second King, you are starting from Revelation. You are starting backwards, right? You know, but you know how people say, Lord, speak to me this morning. You know, I always tell you a story of a man who said, God speak to me, he opened the first class. And the first place he saw was Judas hung himself. He said, no. He said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a word is established. He opened the other scripture. Another story just says, and did he could you? He said, no. I think the third one now said, what are you waiting for? To have, regardless of what you go through, regardless of what comes your way, regardless of where you get yourself to, altogether, it's a knowing. Now, the love of God is something that can be felt, but it is first to be known. You know why? Because your feelings fluctuate. Is that correct? Your feelings fluctuate. That's why the Bible says, John 3:16. Let's start from there today. John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, a lot of times, very simple scripture. For God so, I think everybody should be able to quote John 3:16. Is that correct? Yeah? Even those who we say are unbelievers. Yeah? And it says, for God so loved the world. Now, one of the mistakes we make in that verse is sometimes we try to emphasize the soul. You get what I'm trying to say? For God, you know how when you tell your husband or your wife or your sister or brother or father or mother, say, I love you so much. Yeah, what did you like this? What are you trying to express? The amount, the magnitude, that's the word. The extra, I love you so much. You know, some of us will say so much. All right, or some of us will say so much. All together. Now, when you're talking like that a lot of times, it's to explain the magnitude of your love. Now, the word they used as soul, so love the word, once you have an understanding of magnitude, your attention should look at the type. How do you know that? Look at 1 John 3:16. Bible says in 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Now, the word there, perceive, what does that mean? Notice. Yeah? Is it smell? No. Is it smell? You know, I've told you before, when the Bible says, you know, God smells a sweet smelling savor, right? Yeah? You see, your attention should not be on nose altogether. When it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, it means, this is how we understand. Yeah. How do we understand? In that he what? He laid down his life for us. Now, that statement does not end in that phrase. What does he say afterwards? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Okay? So, who teaches man how to lay down his life? God. How do you know that you are to lay down your life? By looking at God. Your dispensation of love will most likely not be correct. That's why you see a lot of us as believers, we believe in tit for tat. You know what tit for tat is? You slap me, I slap you. You know, some believers can keep malice more than they can keep their Bible. Yeah? Some people can just keep malice. You say, no, if you do me, I do you. If you stab me, you kill me, I do you. If you do me, I do you. Yeah? The reason why we have to understand is because somewhere in our heads, we believe and think that God loves us because of what we do. How many of us know what we call the Lord's Prayer? Can we recite it together? Matthew 6, okay? Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, okay? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who... So it means that God forgives you when he sees you forgive others. That's what he said. That's what he said literally. If you take that narrative to be God forgives you based on how you forgive others, you know you'll not be forgiven. You know you know that name in your mind. I say, in my life, if I forgive you, call me and change my name from you, what you've done for my lineage. No, everybody has their own lane. If God watches you to learn forgiveness, you will not be forgiven. So we've started over time that scripture, you know, there's some words that were missing in the translation from the original lexicon. And if you look at the entire context, it is actually you forgive us our trespasses, so we forgive others. It is look at John 1 John 3:16. He says, as he loved us, as he laid down his life, so we ought to lay down. So who lays life first? God first lays his life for you. Then you lay your life for others. If God was to watch you lay your life first and lay his life for you, depending on how you lay your life, you know you will not get anything. So we can go back to that Matthew 6. Our Father, who art in heaven. What is Jesus teaching in that prayer? The word dear Father, right, it's not as much a masculine word. You know, a lot of us, when we, you know, read scriptures, we just believe that God, some of us believe God is a gender. Are we together? Right? You know, but you will actually find out that the Bible uses both. Are we together? Right? Why would Jesus come as a man? Well, the truth is that because of the culture that was already in existence, it would only be received as a man. Are we together? Right? A culture has been laid on ground, and God will fit his plan towards man's world or man's culture. So we say, when you say our Father, I'm saying don't think of male God. So our Father can be our mother, is that correct? Yeah? Father would just mean the one that the progenitor, is that a word? Yeah? The one that brings forth, the one that produces, or you get the point, right? So our Father who art in heaven. Now, when you see Bible use of the word heaven, don't think of the sky. Are we together? God made the heavens and the earth. Yeah, don't think of the sky. What do you think about? You think of the world that is not seen. Are we together? Because if the sky is where heaven is, so to say, it means that the way man is going, man one day will take a jet or whatever space shuttle and get there. Are we together? Right, you know, in their world, you would actually find out that because the heavens, the skies were far from them, yeah, they would have that imagination or representation of heaven. But in our world today, you know, I remember a story of a boy who took his father. His father was, you know, a boy took his son, and the son, they were flying on a plane, and he just asked his father one day, and he said, "Where is God?" Because they taught the boy that God is up in heaven, right? And he got to me and said, So the father just asked him, I saw you've been looking out through the window since we took up and took off. What are you looking for? And I says, they said, God is here. I want to see him. Are we together? Right? You know, if you are a father, the best thing for you to not do at that situation is to say, no, he's above. Because one day, that guy might get money, enter the man called, who is Elon Musk, right? He will get money, or the owner of Virgin, and they will go into that space something, and they will go past your head. Right? So when you see the Bible talks about heaven, there's a lot to say there. We've not said as much as we need to, but we'll say the little that we can, just for foundation, right? You think of the heaven as the world that is not what seen physically. So what is heaven and earth? Representation of the unseen and seen. You know, the song we sang this morning, the song says, you didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Yeah. So that world of your sin and the world that is seen exist in our world. Are we here? So the Bible says, our Father who art in heaven. What are you seeing? Our Father in the world that is not seen physically with the eyes of man. So our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means something that is designated holy, something that is sacred or sanctified. So hallowed be thy name means, you see, the name of Jesus is not as much about J-E-S-U-S. You know, how many of you grew up believing that five is number of grace? Is that correct? Yeah. How many stones did David pick? Five. What does it represent? Grace. Say grace. You see, the number five is a unique number. Spell Jesus. J-A-S-U-S. Spell grace. G-R-A-C-E. Spell Satan. S-A-T-A-N. Spell devil. D-E-V-I-L. Spell demon. D-E-M-O-N. What is five again? You see, you have more five for more negative things than positive things. You see, Bible says that David took five stones. One each represents the name J-E-S-E-S. At the mention, how many stones did David use?
One.
He just one. Nine. So all you need is J. Every Goliath in the name of J. Because David used one stone. So don't get yourself all worked up with mathematics that does not exist in the Bible. Yeah, so the name of Jesus speaks about the work. Are we together? The work of Jesus. His reputation. When you say the name of the President of the United States of America, you say the name of the President of the United States of America opens doors unto you. What does that mean? It means the office, his reputation. You know, I mean, when you're going to school, your parents will say, don't forget the child of who you are. Don't forget the daughter or the son of who you are. What they call it, letter of undertaking. Right? That as I'm going to this school, I will not rub the name of my father and the name of my family in the mud. Oh, your parents don't get that issue. So I wrote a letter. I still have a letter. That's over many years ago now, probably about 12 years ago. Right, I still have the letter, right? And I wrote and I signed, fine signature and date. Right? What was my father asking me not to do? There is a reputation that comes with the name Yusuf. Are we together? There is a reputation that comes with the name Yusuf. Right? So he says, don't go and embarrass me. So when we talk about name, we did a decision on the name of Jesus, right? A couple years ago, right? I would say that the summary of the word name, of used name, is to speak about reputation. Reputation. Right, so he says, our Father who art in heaven. Heaven is what?
Unseen
world. Is that correct? Yes. Can we say supernatural, spiritual? Yes. Okay, yeah. Hallowed be thy. Is that reputation?
Yes.
That means sanctified is the reputation. So it means that the work of Jesus, only him does it. Yes. Are we here? Listen to what I just said, though. The work of Jesus, only him does it. Okay. The work of Jesus, only him, so it is unique to him. So it means that if somebody else can do it without Jesus, it means that thing is not unique to him. Mm-hmm. Can a man who is not a Christian get a job?
Yes.
Can a man who is a Christian get a job?
Yes.
Can a man who is a Christian get a miraculous job?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. Can a man who is not a Christian get a miraculous job? Yes, sir. Are we together? So are miracles unique to Christians? No. You know, some of us, the prayer point where we've been praying, God, give me, if you just give me, this house, hey! I will tell them to do for house fellowship. God, give me one car. I just want one car. I want to pack people to church. Who are you whining?
Yourself.
Yeah, whining yourself. You know, Lord, you know, God, I just see a lot of people on the road, and I wish I could just, you know, pack everybody together. If your intention is to pack people, why are you not asking God for Pukusta? You are asking for two-seater. You say, God, I just want this way. You know, some of us are just so selfish in our thinking, and we now rub God in it. So, here's God, though. God, you say, the end is the
Lord.
The end is the what?
The
and the oh, glory to God. My father owns 10,000 cattle on what? 10,000 years. Right? He owns 10,000 cattle on 10,000 years. What can he not give you? Car? No. It's not. What can he not give me? House? You know, when you now get a house that is too big, once you put on your load inside, everything is, and all the space has been said, God, I need something bigger. They say the human wants are what? Insatiable. You still have 3 bedrooms. Say, God, I want something. I just want to have more space so that when I start giving birth to children, when I start rearing children, they will have plenty room to themselves. You know, my father did not give me more than one room, you know, so I have to give my children more than one.
At least four.
What happens? You now get the foreigners. You say, and I like country homes. I just like the idea of country homes. When your house is the only one in the bush, then you have to drive like 5 minutes from the gate to the building. What happens? You keep what? Increasing. So, what I'm saying to you is, if you now want to understand God's love based on those mundane things, it means that one who's an unbeliever that has everything you are praying for is already what? Loved by God. Altogether. Or is already receiving of God's love. If you allow material things to help you understand your love for God, or God's love for you, so to say, right, a time will come, you will not get. You know, I want to believe that we have lived a little on this earth to know that it's not everything we pray for that we will get.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
You know that? Lord, I want to finish at the top of my class so that I will point people to your glory. How? How does it link? Are we together? Is it going to finish at the top of your class? Yes. I've noticed that even with the anointing where they pour on your head, with the olive oil they finish on your head, you just see one very slim Muslim boy that comes from a family of imam, and the great grandfather is traditional worship, and they say he's the first in the class, and he gets 99. You with the anointing oil, with the everything they pour, you even still read small. You know your number. I've not found out that it's not everything you ask for that you get. Let me tell you, you know, you allow motivational speakers to finish you. I started one poultry with one chicken. So how did the chicken lay egg? How did you start one poultry with one chicken? You started poultry with one chicken. All you need is a cup of rice.
Wow.
You can become a rice planter. Don't let motivation speakers motivate you into depression. I just see and I just go into another person and I sense the business about this era. Yeah, ten. Don't go and be doing more than yourself. Yeah? So there are things, you know, what some of you, I'm sure 10 years ago, this year, you thought by now you should already have your third child. You thought that by now, I should have 4 children already played. You gave them name. Right? Say, by 2024, as we're approaching 2025, another decade. Yeah, by then I should have 2 boys, 1 girl, waiting for the last boy. Boyfriend is not available. Do you understand? Boyfriend is not available. What am I saying to you? It's not everything you wish for you will get. So if you put your understanding of God's love based on what you get, you might be disappointed sooner or what? Later. Altogether, you might be disappointed sooner or later. You must have a firm understanding of God's love for you to understand that it is regardless of what you have or what you don't have. See, before I'm 30, before I'm 35, maximum before I'm 40, I should already have a mansion, a duplex, one in Africa, one in America, then a small home in UK. Altogether. You know, today I'm business analyst. 5 years from now, senior business analyst. CEO. 10 years, maximum. 10 years come, you are still business analyst. You see, what am I trying to say to you? That is life. That is life. It is not everything you wish for, everything you pray for, that you will get. So you cannot attach your understanding of God's love to the things you get or the things you don't get. So, Bible says in 1 John 3, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, whereby he laid down his life, and we ought to lay down our lives for what? Others as well. So, a man cannot live above his understanding of his God. Write that down in your notes. A man cannot live above his understanding of his Creator or his God. A man cannot live above his understanding of his Creator or his God. So why do we pay a lot of attention to theology in God's palace? Because your theology will determine all your other logics. Your understanding of theology will help in all other forms of logics. Whether you call it eschatology, whether you call it pneumatology, whether you call it any other thing. Your understanding of God will set a precedent for how you will view life going forward. Are we together? Yeah? It's your understanding of God that makes you feel that when people lose their lives at a younger age, you say that they've what? God has taken them. Because, you know, someone said to me, my dad, pastor, said, God knew that more evil is coming to this land. And he didn't want his, the eye of his Holy One to see what? Corruption. He didn't want the eye of the Holy One to see corruption. What is the statement to make to someone who just lost his dad? It sounds like it's encouraging. I don't understand. God wants you to see the corruption. But somebody who is older than me, that has more experience than me, it should leave me alone. No, no. You know, if you go for, I remember there was the first time I preached at a morning where people were mourning, wasn't I? Just went somewhere. I think with my mom. It was probably 6 years ago, thereabouts. Right? And I just got there and they said, Pastor, you're going to preach for us. Hey. You know, and I've had this card that people always have when they want to kind of say, you know, God gives, God takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, he has lived all his life fulfilled on earth, you know, and God has just said, come on, my son, come up with that. Right? It's our poor understanding of God that makes us think that there are rooms. Have you not heard someone say that, you know, God took him to heaven and God showed him his house in heaven. And God said to him, that's your house, but it's not complete. Now ask God, God, why? Why is my house not complete? What did God now say? You need to win more souls. Because as you are winning souls, they are adding bricks. As you are winning souls, what happened? They are roofing. One got to heaven, they say his house doesn't have roof. The truth is, why would you say house without roof? Because where you live, most houses are without roof. All completed building, left, right, center. You go to heaven, you say, this is my heaven. God said, my building is okay, but I need a few more years to win more souls. They can connect what? Electricity. Why? Do you have an ideology of connect electricity? Because in your way, where you grew up, you know what you call 3 days on, 1 day off? Some of you cannot relate. Yeah? Eh? If they give you 3 days on and 1 day off, you are in palace now. Eh? How do they do it? 3 days on, 1 day on. That day, what it doesn't mean, like you plug the fuse, like you plug everything, you charge your phone full. You charge, you know, you have 4 power banks. You have four power banks. You just charge it, charge. What happened? When the light now goes, I say, ah, they've done it. If they, and those never people, I think they know what they should do. It's never that part of the world I come from. You know what they should do? They know how to use light to, you know, they don't taste it. The day when it's supposed to be off, you just see light everywhere. It's just like, ah, there's light. To, ah, what is happening? What happened? You now say, ah, before you know it, before you settle down, you just say, everything is gone. You know, I remember those days when you are heading home, you have to look at your neighbor's house to be looking at a bulb that is on. That's some of your neighbors, you know, they don't have gen. So if their light is on, there's light. So if that's your understanding of where you grew up, and you don't have a firm understanding of theology or of God, your heaven will look that way. Your heaven will look that way. Your understanding of God's love will be controlled by your circumstances. You know, and some of us sometimes as a local church, we don't help matters. You know, someone asked me a few years ago, Pastor, why is it that in gospel we don't take testimony time? Yeah, the kind of things that God is doing in our midst, they are so plenty. And I just said a simple question. Do you know that a lot of times more people live depressed than encouraged with testimonies? A lot of times. You've been in a local church for 10 years. Somebody said they came in 6 months. And they bought house, car, and jet. You have to say, the God of this world, commission, is a true God. You have done me well. You know, that's when you know the praises on the lips of people. I've not seen that someone would take care. You know, we used to do that years ago, over probably 10-15 years ago, where you want to collect testimony. So we now realize that when you hand over the mic to people for testimony, it's hard to collect it from them. Because some people, if you like, tell them you have 5 minutes. Their mind is programmed as what they must say. If they don't touch it, you are not collecting. They are looking away. In fact, I remember one day, one woman, they gave her 5 minutes. She has already done 15 minutes. After the 15 minutes, she said, I know you are looking at me, I will not give you. And she continued, I don't understand, 15 minutes. How long is the whole service? So what happened? We now progress into giving them mic. Yeah, you hold the mic for them, you hold it firm. Because there are some, if you don't hold it firm, they will remove from your hand. So what do? You hold it for them like this and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What did God do? Because some of them, even that, it all started in the year 1972. It all started, I don't understand. What did you do? What did you say this month today? It started in 1972. Right? So what now happens? But you now realize that sometimes, the man who is handling, or the woman handling testimony, there are certain things that they will hear and they will ask people to rejoice about. Someone just comes and say, I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul. I was lost and now found. Praise be to God. I'm now living in peace. The man will not call him back and say, now to your testimony. What is the testimony? What is the real testimony? The man will not just come and say, hey, I got one contract. People of God, if I tell the number of zeros, you open your mouth, you will nothing. I did not do anything. They just called me and said, I want to give you, you see, I want to do the road from Edinburgh to London. Just do all the road, Edinburgh to London. We found out your company is top-notch. That's how the road. I can't realize you don't have those kind of testimonies in that environment. They say you should do the road, only you, Edinburgh to London, only you. They say you should repair the rail track, the railway. I understood that. Now all of a sudden, when they not finish testimony, it says the money, because they're calculating the tithes. Are you just sitting down? Are you just sitting down? Will you come and jump up and give the Lord some praise and praise yesterday? I said, glory to God. I saw them, the man said, the one that did it for you, will do it for me. The one I did it for you, will do it for me. You know how people say, when God does something for your neighbor, is in the neighborhood. It's in the neighborhood. It's in the, when God, you see, when your neighbor is buying and progressing, don't be jealous of them. It just shows that God is in your neighborhood. Your own turn is tomorrow. Let me tell you, your turn might not be tomorrow. And you don't know. Don't you think people who died poor? They didn't foresee. How many people die poor and they foresaw from the beginning. I see that in my 60s, I'll be in poverty. Who sees like that? Nobody. That's why as a local church, we cannot afford to segregate the rich and the poor. This is the only balanced ground where the rich and the poor, they meet as well. You know, in Nigerian church, I just realized sometimes, somebody will finish school, they will say, barista, Esther. Another will finish school, say, engineer, Ebuka. Another will finish school, say, Dr. Vin. One another brother who did not go to school. Brother Alex. Look, if you check our group chat, Ghost Palace, probably 2018 is where they happened. Somebody is doing birthday. Happy birthday, dear barista Esther. Happy birthday, dear Dr. Vin. Happy birthday, Ayodami. Even the sister said, if there's a kind of money you will not have, they will not put the sister in front. You say, Abami, as fondly called, Tammy. How to call everybody attention? Don't put me inside trouble. Which one is engineer barrister? So we say in the local church, we don't say engineer brother. No, we are all what? Brothers. We are all sisters. Because you start having an understanding that God loves this one more than this one. Yeah, how do you know those who sit in front? The ones who bring the flashy cars. That's why I tell you, it's a waste of energy, time, effort to ask people to stand at the lobby with flyer, welcome home. You are not joining into service. You are not listening to service. You are not the word. You are not learning from the word. They just give you placard at the gate. God's palace, home for you, and that's your work. And they will smile. They will put some at the staircase. Put some, until we get here. The way we joke is plenty. Yeah. Some people are so jobless that they go to the car park. What's the six cars coming? Rolls Royce. Mazda 78. Welcome to church, brother. Just also go there. You see somebody. You see somebody. Somebody will lead you to your seat. But Rolls Royce, can I help you with your Bible? I want you to feel at home. Come with me. Come with me. Somebody is supposed to scold and put at the back. You know the funny thing about these things? It looks funny, but people are learning from it. So what happens? You that are driving Mazda 78, you want to get money any way, any form, so that day to day will carry your Bible. See, when I was growing up, I didn't know God loved me. But when I got this job, I didn't apply for it. You know, I told the story of a woman who went to a church. I was saying, hey, there's a job. I got a job. I did not know anybody. No, you said, the person doesn't say I don't know anybody. I don't even apply. I just got a phone call. They say, is this Miss Bami? Is this Miss Bami? Yeah. I don't even know how they will say it. We just sensed that there's a job for you in our company. After the lady finished sharing testimony, people were not saying, the God I did for her will do for me. The God that delay is not denier. The God I did for her will do for me. Only for the CEO of the company. And the human being now mentioned the name of the company on the altar. So the CEO of the company now, is that my company? I mean, there are two. You know, there is Shell International Limited. And there is Shell and Sons. So you know, is that the same company I'm the owner of? That's how the CEO fired the entire HR team. They eventually found out that the person that gave the woman the job was the HR manager in the company. But you came just to put people under depression. I just got to UK and as soon as I landed, the job was waiting for me. How is the job waiting for you? Now, does that take away the place of the miraculous? No! Yeah, I just woke up one day and saw money in my alert. And I saw, I just saw money in my account. And the thing did not show the sender. It just shows credit alert. I went to ATM to withdraw everything. Like thief. What's the big word for thief? Tifet, right? Like King James will say you doubt Tifet. You are tifo. You are tifo. How can suddenly money enter your account? Shout out to withdraw everything. So that they will say so that they will not reverse it. And you're not going to say, I just got an alarm into my phone. And I just don't know where it came from. Listen, so eventually what I hear people are saying is, wait, though. God, when will you do my own? God, when will you do my own? I know a lot of us like the message of hope. Tomorrow. I'm saying to you that tomorrow might not be as you plan. Are we knowing tomorrow of yesterday? Today is the tomorrow you spoke about 10 years ago. I know in the future. But in the future, I want to know the future. And there's still more future. I'm trying to say to you that things might not go. Now, there's some of you who might have a lot of things you had looked forward to. But it's not always going to be like that. So if you just say, you know, just wake up one day and say, God, Jesus, thank you for your love. Your love overruns my heart. You know, some of us are so funny, we now mock other people. You want to thank God you are alive. You have to first whine God to tell him, remind him people are mortuary. Lord, thank you for waking up every morning. Some of our mates, one of my colleagues, just woke up and slung. I think just with the love mounts like that. Your love, Lord. The way God, Lord. I told you the story of a woman who came to share this morning in a church. They went to finish a crusade. I think an 18-seater bus had an accident. Everybody died except this woman. And she came back to the church to say, God's love is overwhelming. If not for his love, where will I be today? What about those who died 17? You know, because we hear people talk about, you know, somebody, they asked somebody a question recently. They said, how does miracle money happen? He says, cars and that's been taking money from their wallet and ATM cards. Bros J. Angel cannot avert the accident. Angel will just look at accident. Angel will say, car wants to tumble. Angel cannot stop it though. He says, finish. When he cannot say to our smoke is coming out, he'll not start searching the pockets. He'll not be tearing pocket and removing the ATM card, not pack anything, and go and withdraw the money from their account. They now send it to you that you are praying. Yeah? You know people believe these things. I hope you know people believe these things. What am I saying to you? Don't allow the things. Bible says, hereby perceive the law of God, that he laid down his life for us. That he laid down. So how do you know God loves you? He laid down his life for you. How do you know God cares about you? He laid down his life. Bible says, while we were yet sinners. Look at Romans 5. I'm trying to use this teaching to just, you know, give us an introduction as to the things we're looking at in the coming days. Look at Romans 5 quickly. Romans 5. If you go all the way to verse 4. Let's just start from verse 4 for time. Romans 5, 4. And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because what? Are we there? Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. So how have we partaken of God's love? By the Spirit's giving that has been shared in our hearts. So when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel loved, are you loved?
Yes.
So you are loved regardless of your feeling. How do you know you are loved? Jesus laid down his life and he gave you his Spirit. Now look at what Paul, now Paul makes a very important argument in verse 6 and downwards. He says, now, when did Jesus lay down his life? Look at what Paul says in verse 6. For when? We are what? Yet without strength. In due time, Christ what? Died for the ungodly. So who were you when Christ died for you? Ungodly. What is that expression of?
Love.
Are we together? So how do you remind yourself God loves you? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. While I was yet ungodly. Romans says, without strength, Christ laid his life for you. Look at what Paul now says in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, verse 8, let's be together. 1, 2, 3, go. But God commended, 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. But God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died. So when Christ was dying for us, we were sinners. What is that? For God so loved. So what is for God so loved the world? So the manner in which God loves the world is that he lived. So for God in such a manner loved the world in that he laid down his life. Right? So we're sinners. We're without strength. Bible says we're ungodly. But what happens? God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 8, much more than being now justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath through him. Look at verse 10. For if when we were what? Enemies. So who were you? Enemy. Another word? Sinner. Another word? Ungodly. Another word?
Powerless.
That's strength. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were what? Reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we what? We are being preserved. That's a good way to do that. Look at that. We are being preserved, being saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received what? The reconciliation or the atonement. So how do you understand God's love for you? Oh, Jesus died for me. Are we together? Jesus died. So you don't understand God's love for you by the house you live in, by the car you drive. Because there are people who don't believe in your Jesus that live in better homes than you do. There are people who don't believe in your God that live in better houses. So why is that people say Jesus died for you? You say Jesus died for my sins, my what? My prosperity. I can never be poor. You are correct. But the poverty must be seen from the lens of spirituality. Christ, who was rich, became poor, that we might become rich. Paul will teach riches as riches of his mercy, his grace, of his love. Are we together? So if you pay attention to scripture very well, you'll find out that the love of God is well documented in the pages of the book. You know, Jesus became poor. You know, somebody was asking that day, he said, how can you say prosperity is not for the believer? What are you saying? That prosperity is for the believer. You know, it's a different thing if you are very prosperous and you are fighting for that doctrine. You understand? You know, evidence. You understand? Just leave it there. Evidence. You understand? Now that you see, a lot of motivational speakers, what they do is they show you something. They show you, because once they show you something, your mind is already dissolved. Anything they tell you, believe. Yeah? Well, the Bible says that. So he was poor. Why are you shouting now? Which one is he was poor, he was poor. What is he was poor, he was poor? Where was he made poor? He was not asking, have I read my Bible? You said you've read your Bible. You said prosperity is of the kingdom. So, you see, God wants us to prosper so that souls can be won. See, if you don't have a culture of winning souls, when you have money, so not be lying or let a lie, I love to hide. You will not preach. It's fine, it's more difficult to preach when you have money. Why? Because you know there's that ego in you. You know, some of us, the reason why you don't preach on the street is because you hate rejection. How can I be stopping this? Look at you. I have 5 of you at home. Pastor says you go to the street, go to what? No, I'm not about those ones. You should stop me. If you were to be back home, will you look at me? 3 bonds between me and you are older than you. So that fear of rejection is what makes you. And mind you, you have fear of rejection, you don't have money. That's figurative. But I'm talking literal. Figurative in that I'm not pointing to anybody. You get the point. Literal in that I'm talking to certain people. So if you don't have small money, you go to the office like this, people say, welcome, sir. That's the table. Yeah, the document, you sign. It will be hard for you to. There's a man called, I think the founder of, Mr. Matt Kwakos Charis, something like that. You know, we saw video, after he has made his billion, we saw video of him all around the streets in the market. God loves you with megaphone. Some of you, if they ask you to even go with flyer, you will hide the flyer inside a book, inside your Bible. They put inside a wrap, a big bag. So when you now see somebody fly, you now be searching. There's something I have for you. Why? Because you are ashamed of showing people the love of God. So I can tell you for free, not every Christian will be rich. I can tell you, if there's nothing you take from God's palace, take this one. Not every Christian. If you like, join midnight prayer that feeds into morning prayer, that feeds into afternoon lunchtime prayer. If you like, do it. Eh? Not every Christian will be rich. It's not possible. You see, the economy of this world is not evenly divided. There are men already in charge of the major funds in this world. You know, there's some men in this world that they can go to a church and answer all the prayer points of everybody. Imagine a man like Bill Gates walking to your church, and he's just walking by like the Holy Ghost, hearing the words, the cry of people. Lord, you can give me this house. This one said, Lord, you can give me this car. This one said, I just need a job that is paying 10 figures. You know, Bill Gates will feel like, but I can do all of this one now. I know what is all this one. So you will feel like a god. Recently, the story that I was sharing recently, that one of the richest men in the world gave more money. You're talking, yeah, it's not my tithe, it's my tithe. I'll pay my tithe, my life will not be tight. Who is fighting with you? Who is arguing with you? A friend of mine had to ask his mom one day, say, Mom, sit down. I've known you for over 20 years. You've not missed your tithe 1 month. I can't brag over 1 million. Not pounds. There's a currency in the west of Africa. It's called Naira. That's £100 for those of you in UK. Let me put you in context. You see, you pay your tithe. You see, so you don't give those things. You don't pay tithe. You don't do this to get money. How can you say the richest man in the world gave thousands of money to everybody? You say they don't tithe. He tithe. Someone that does not even believe it. He say he believes in cultural Christianity. You say he gave towards the advancement. And you cannot even reason. You can't even think. You can't even ponder. You can't even, you know, just want to find something. And I saw somebody, he now went to his church. And I said, some of you be shouting that. You say, tithe again. I've not seen that one now. They say he's the highest giver in that church. You see, the man now said there's some things we know, right? Yeah, and I'm trying to correct certain things that, you know, can pass through our heads and ears outside of local church. What do you know? They gave somebody a nickname of a wealthy man in a church. The guy became the highest giver. You say he's the richest man in the world. Think a little. Yeah, just because you want to propagate that, you know, if you give God, he will take care of the rest. God loves man, regardless of what man does to God. Yeah, so God does not look for, you know, this one is the one that is giving. You know, some of us believe that, no, I want to give God this so that he will protect me. No! When you enjoy provision, enjoy protection, enjoy a lot of things, you know, as a believer, it's not because of what you are doing. The Bible says, while you are yet without strength, the greatest demonstration of love is seen in the fact that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for you as a sinner. Yeah. So your money does not impress God. How on earth? Your car doesn't impress God. Your house doesn't impress God. So God doesn't say, let me throw you more love because of the things you do in the church. No. God loves man regardless of what man is. The Bible says, for God, so what? Love the world. In that, while we're yet sinners, what? Christ died. So God loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. But have. So what is God's love shielding you from? Perishing. All together. So God's love is shielding you from perishing. God's love is shielding you from perishing. God's love shields man from perishing. So one thing you can brag about is the fact that because you are redeemed and righteous, because you are saved and sanctified, it means that you will never perish. It means you will never perish. Say, I will never perish. I will never perish. So why are we saying the kind of things we say in the local church? It's because you only get better by giving yourself to study. You only get better by giving yourself to study. You know, you don't have to lie to make people feel, you know, have you not found out that the people that get the highest, and people who teach a lot about prosperity and all those things, the people who get wealthiest more often than not in those gatherings are the pastors. Well, let me ask you a question. Who is more liable to receive for more people in this church? Who? Me now. Why? Because it is taught in scripture. So if I now come and say, you know, I was just waiting. I didn't even plan. The money just came. You plan. Now, can the money just came for you? Yes. But what if it doesn't came? You know, I can have a bill and I have to pay this week and come here and turn your mind. You know, I always tell you, I remember there's a lady who reached out to me and you know, so she had seen me minister and things of the spirit. I came and reached out to me and said, you know, all this, you know, I have evidence of I gave my last money and I, yes, people have stories like that. But I'm saying, see, in the on the grand scheme of things, if you want to look through how people get money, it's by labor. Yes, you can. They can pay. You know, even if you get the miraculous money in your account, and let's say you are dubious enough not to call your bank to report it to your bank as a missing transaction to your account, if you don't involve in business, you will lose everything. Yeah. That's why some people, they believe, you know, they just live their life on that cycle of, this one happened today. No, there are some plans you need to make. There are some things you need to do. I'm going to do a series next year. I'm struggling with the title of that series. What I want to title that series, but I told you about it, right? Yeah. What is it I told you about? What did I call it? Use your head or have common sense or something. Don't be foolish or don't speak. Just something like that. I'm still in between what I'll type. Maybe frankly speaking, there are certain things you do on the earth. There are certain things you act. There are certain things. You see, life doesn't just happen. Life can happen for some people. More often than not, people need to work life to happen. But I'm saying, let's even assume you put in the efforts to make and try to make life work. If it doesn't work, what don't you say? Don't say, no, God doesn't love me. Why? Because your understanding of God's love for your life is based on what Jesus has done on the cross for you. Are we together? So he says, we're yet to that trend. Let me just really touch a few things that I'll pick up again on Wednesday. Go all the way to Luke 24. All together. Luke 24. Bible says in verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the men had said, but they saw him not. Verse 25 now says, then he said unto them, O fools, and so hard to believe all that the prophets have what? Spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? To enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses, all the scriptures, all the scriptures, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning what? Himself. All together. Right? And what? And they drew near unto the village whither they went. So my emphasis was 24 and 27. Now it says that beginning at Moses. What is beginning at Moses? Beginning at Moses means beginning from the writings of Moses. Are we together? So is that Genesis? Is that Genesis? But it didn't stop at Moses. It says, and all the prophets. Right? So does that include prophets like Isaiah?
Yes,
Ezekiel?
Yes,
another prophet?
David.
Zechariah? David?
Joel.
Right? Joel? Correct? Yeah? So what did Jesus do to them? Now mind you, when Jesus was living on the earth as a man, as in before his crucifixion, right? His Bible was strictly what? Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus did not or never quoted Ephesians. Is that correct? Jesus could not be teaching and say, open your Bible with me to the book of James. Is that correct? Yeah? You know, even after the resurrection, the 40 days teaching, right? Jesus strictly taught from what? Genesis to Malachi. You know, history even shows us that a lot of the epistles were written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written. How together? Right? So it means that your Bible is not chronologically written based on the year. How together? Yeah? Based on the year, I don't want to go into all of those study, you know, in bibliology, one of those things, look into that, right? But I'm trying to say that the order and sequence is not based on how it is written. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes you read Timothy, then something in Corinthians will make sense to you. Then you now go back to Acts. You now be like, oh, this is how Timothy called them. That's not the point, right? But what I'm saying to you is that even Jesus took Bible study serious. It's so sad that in our world, nobody wants to take Bible study seriously. Nobody. So, you know, we just want to go to a place where the pastor just say, this week is your week, take it. That thing you've been waiting for. Now, there's a place for that. But that's not the essence of the church. You know, I always tell you, some of the rich men in the world cannot attend our crossover service. Imagine your pastor says, say to your neighbor, this year is your year. And the person beside you is brigade. This is my year. You are my year. You are my year. Please, you are my year, sir. Forget about what pastor is saying. You are my year. This is my year in front of me. You know some of us are laughing. We will do it too. Even me that do that example, I don't know if I will.
Yes, sir.
I will too. So we need to just. So what are we really after? Are we after frivolities? Or are we trying to be serious? That's why when you find yourself in a place like this, right? If you are not serious-minded, you will not stay. And the truth is that there's a lot of tension and pressure that comes from people coming around to, you know, places like this where, you know, they're, you know, and someone was saying to me, how come, regardless of people, you know, somebody has left, somebody said they were not coming back to the gospel, they don't have the music team. I want a church where there's, you know what they call loop? You know, loop. As the keyboard is just, you just put on microphone in his ear, you just talk it to all these relatives. Yeah, give it four. Play the loop, drop the loop. All right. You know, let me say it to you, Brother Samuel, the one, you know, with you, I don't know. Yeah, the day I see any of you on this keyboard, you put camera in front of you, and you're going to be sharing on YouTube. That's the last day you will play here. If you do it, don't let me see it. You see, they call it backstage. What nonsense is that? You know, we had a brother. His name is, let me not call his name, but this is probably almost over 15 years ago. Hopefully, he's still serving God. His name is Easy Praise. You know Easy Praise? Easy Praise, when we used to have vision, my dad would do vision. We'll start with, you know, we call high. You know, there's praise. Then there's high praise. Then there's mega praise. You know what mega praise is? Mega praise is not the same as high praise. No, high is mega is. If you don't know, forget about it. He will finish turning around. Like, hey. He will jump. Before you know it, he will spin. Once he just drops the mic like this, he will just go to the back of the church and just put his hood and just be sleeping. Anything pastor, when it's time for offering again, they go after. Brother, easy. You wrap your head. Just lift your head and give. No, now. Yeah, there are certain things we need to ensure we instill in the place because it will affect every other thing. You see, how do you expect someone who is not serious with God to be serious with his life? How do you expect someone who is not serious with God to be serious with his life? You know, so we now find that, you know, that atmosphere, that atmosphere for frivolities. There's a lot. Bible says Jesus began at Genesis. There's a lot in Genesis to Malachi to know. I'm saying everything that you see in Matthew to Revelation has its precedence in Genesis to Malachi. Jesus, you know, today, if you want to say, well, I want to teach you believers authority, quickly, you go to Ephesians 1, go to Ephesians 3. You know, he's seated in heaven. I'm seated in him, in Christ, in him, for joy. In him, in Christ, in him, for joy, rejoicing. Yeah, but all of those things, they have their background in the writings of Genesis to Malachi. So we need to patiently study it. We need to patiently study. Look at Acts 26. You know, in the coming year, we're going to take our devotion and consecration a step ahead. Okay? Right? And we just want to use this message and these teachings to get our hearts in the right place. Right? Look at Acts 26. 22. It says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other thing than those which the prophet and Moses did say should what? Come. That Christ should what?
Suffer.
suffer, and he should be the first that should what? Rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the dead. So having obtained help from God, I be continued this day. Say, look at what Paul says. He says, say no other thing than those things which who? Are you there? The prophets and Moses did say should come. Did say should come. So, did Moses say something?
Yes, sir.
Are we to pay attention to it?
Yes, sir.
So, what is the approach a believer should not have towards the Bible? Right? A believer should not have an approach of, that's the Old Testament. Is that correct? You know, some people, the easiest thing. But what God Bible says this year? They say that's Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. We are under the what? We are under the new dispensation. We are in the... Now, when you look through Bible interpretation, you find out that even Jesus himself talked about the love of God from what you call the Old. Paul talked about the love of God from what you call the Old. So is the Old really old? Old. Are we together? So a good way to look at your Bible is from Genesis to Malachi to Revelation as the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. Because even Moses, let me just look at the closing Moses quickly. Look at Moses in Exodus. Or look at John 1 first, before I go to Exodus. Let me show you one quick thing and I'll wrap up today. Look at John 1. Are you in John 1? This is one of the scriptures that makes people say some of those Old Testament, New Testament things. John 1, 17. Are you there?
Yes.
Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ah, we're not there, we're not there. John 1, 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the law was given by Moses. Are we here? John 1, 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth. The law is by Moses. So, but when you want to understand grace, look at what the New Testament books. The law is Genesis to Malachi. And the Bible says it's by Moses. We say, but. Now, I've taught you before that the word there, law, is the Greek word nomos. Right? It's the Greek word nomos. N-O-M-O-S. Nomos. Nomos is the word law. Now, the word law does not always mean commandments or rules and regulations. Law does not always mean commandments or rules and regulations. This law, nomos, speaks about a doctrine or a teaching. A doctrine or a teaching. A doctrine or a teaching. So, let's replace doctrine in John 1:17. Let's replace the word doctrine or teaching. In John 1:17, in my life, finish writing. John 1:17. For the doctrine was given by Moses. Now, let me know if you have a good Bible. There's a word in italics in that verse 17. What word is that? Okay. Now, in Bible interpretation, when you see the word in italics, more often than not, the word was not in the original manuscripts. Okay. So, are we going to remove the word but? Is that correct? So, let's read it together without the word but. 1, 2, 3, go. For the doctrine was given by Moses, grace and truth came. Do you think that what that scripture is saying is that law was Moses? But when we talk about truth and grace, it's Jesus. If that's your conclusion, it will mean. But remember, I said something like that today. Every teaching on grace and truth and love is found where? Is that correct? So did Moses know that God is long-suffering?
Yeah.
Did he know that God is kind?
Yeah.
See, that Moses know that God is kind is not a revelation. Some of us say, when we teach, Moses sits and learn. Ha. Where does that? Where does man? You know, when we teach the word, you know, even the angels are trying to peep to hear. What is that? What are they saying there? You know, If Moses were to be alive today, he would sit down and he would take his writing material. Well, if he does that, it's only because he's a good student. Not because all he was saying was nonsense. Are we together? Some of us have castivated. You know, you cannot build a solid Bible doctrine without recognizing the man, Moses.
Yes.
You can't. But the problem is a lot of things that Moses wrote, we don't say it the way, or we don't have proper interpretation of it. And so, some of us know the scripture around them. Moses saw the back of God. Is that true?
Yeah.
How many of you know that Moses saw the back of God? Yeah, Moses could not see God face to face. Are we together? Right? So Moses could not see God face to face. So what did God now say? God said, you see, I will hide you in the cliff of a rock. And I will pass. Then what happened? Then I will now show you my back. You see, if you take that story using English language, what you would think is, this is Moses. Are we together? This is Moses here. This is God. God now say, so Moses, God will first close his eyes. He said, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Can you see? What number is this? He said, I cannot see there, God. I said, can you still see? No. God will now say, don't open your eyes. I say, open your eyes. What do you see? He say, God, I see your back. Oh, if your back can be this glorious, how will your front be? You don't know how to use that word for your wife this evening. No? So, if your back can be this... Why do some of you laugh in a strange way? I'm not talking about believers, like a brother and a sister. So, what... You know why I said that? Because why not something else? In Nigerian church, they're having their love feast today. So, I think my mom said they wanted to have some conversations around... You know, relationship and all of that. As when they have their love feast meeting after church, I'm like, okay, interesting. They'll have a good time. And all you people now here, you say, Pastor, when is our own? So I'm giving you nuggets, right? So when Moses now saw the back of God, now says, now you've seen my back, you will live. For anyone that sees my front shall not. No, the use of the word back in Bible writing is a word that speaks about the future. Are we together? All right. So look at me, everyone. Can you see my back?
Yeah.
What are you seeing? You're seeing in front. Are you here?
Yeah.
Can you say you're seeing in front?
Yeah.
Can you say you're seeing ahead?
Yes.
Can you say you're seeing into the future?
Yeah.
All figurative, yeah? Mm-hmm. So when Moses was to see the back of God, it means that Moses was going to see into the future what God was going to do. Are we together? So did Moses see ahead what God will do? Yes, he wrote it down systematically. If I let me look and show you one in Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 6. Look at Exodus 34, 6. Are you there? Exodus 2nd book. Exodus 34, 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, is what?
Merciful.
Gracious. Is that grace? Long-suffering. Abundant in what?
Goodness
and... So did Moses know that God is abundant in goodness?
Yes.
Did Moses know God is gracious?
Yes.
Did Moses know that God is long-suffering?
Yes.
So now says verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. The word they're visiting speaks about tackling to deal with, right? Visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children, upon the children's children, unto their third and fourth generation. So you must pay attention to what Moses knew about God. He says God forgives iniquity. Moses says God is gracious. God is long-suffering. God is abundant in goodness and truth. So did the law come by Moses such that Jesus now brought grace and truth? Well, you now have to think a little. What did we say the word law is in John 1?
Doctrine.
So can we say for the doctrine of Moses is that grace and truth will be revealed by Jesus. Are you here? Did Moses know it? Yeah, Moses, because we just saw in Exodus 34, we can go to other scriptures. So in Exodus 34, the doctrine of Moses, so when you look through Moses' teaching, Moses taught that God is gracious.
Yes, sir.
Moses taught that God is long-suffering. If you look at Moses' teaching age, you will see that God is long-suffering. You see that God forgives iniquity, visits the iniquities of the fathers. And you see that God tackles and takes. So it means that God is a forgiving God. God is a gracious God. God is a long-suffering God. Moses knew. And Moses said it. So what will John 1:17 be saying? For the doctrine of Moses is that grace and truth will be revealed, will be seen, will be made clear. By who? By Jesus. So a God that is loving, is he gracious?
Yes.
Is he forgiving?
Yes.
Is he merciful? Yes. So it means we would have to get ourselves to know a lot about God's love from the writings of Moses. So you can say, you know, some of us think that Jesus is God showing us his good side. Have you heard that before? That Jesus is God, you know, God is hot and cold, though. But you see, God just wanted man to know that he can be warm. Not see Jesus, but I still have this side. If you mess up, I mess you. If you misbehave, I misbehave. Right? So you cannot afford to don't try me on. You see, if God is a God of don't try me, we have a right to tell our neighbors, don't try me. What God will teach the believers to walk in love or cannot walk in love? Wait, somebody does something bad to me, I can forgive him. But my God cannot forgive man. I'm better than God. That's the meaning. That's the implication. It means that God needs to come to my school of forgiveness to learn from me. It means that the scriptures around walking in love, forgiving your one another, right? It's not a scripture to take seriously. You know, but it just shows it there so that the pages of the Bible will just be filled up. No. We understand our love for others by seeing his love. Yeah? So let's end in our Father who art in heaven. Okay? 1, 2, 3, go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Thy will be done on earth as it is in the sky. Okay? Yeah? So what is the next line? Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Are we together? If God gives you bread every day, will you eat?
Yes, sir.
You will eat it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you eat bread every day now?
No, the bread does not mean bread, Charlie.
Okay, so you're answering me ahead of the question. So because we've thought it before, you're answering, because when you say yes, I thought you like bread like that. Let me pumping bread into your house. Right? So the daily bread of God, Jesus now teaches in John 6, I'm the bread of life. Are we together? He says, who doesn't eat of me and drink of me has no part in me. So what is the daily bread that God gives man? The word that daily is the word that can speak about sufficiency or everlasting or eternal. So how do you eat? You give us this day your sufficient bread, your everlasting bread, your eternal bread. Are we together? What does it mean for God to give us bread? The next line says it. You forgive us our trespasses. As? Is it as? Is it as? So that we forgive those who what? Trespass. So who teaches you how to forgive those who offend you? It's God. Are we together? It's God. So God lays the templates. Well, who are we? So Paul will say in Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God. As what? Dear children. So how do you follow? You look at his templates. You know what it means? The word therefore means to be imitators, to mimic. So if we are to be imitators of God, and God can say, you know, that's why he says the only unpardonable sin is the sin of what? Blasphemy. What is that? To reject the gift of the Spirit. Is that you've not received of his forgiveness. So who are you? You are one who is loved. So regardless of what you have in your account, I say to you, dear saints, you are loved by God. Regardless of what we have, you are loved by God. Regardless of your past, you are loved by God. Regardless of your presence, you are loved by God. Why? Because we see his love in that he laid down his life for us. How many of you are those who God has laid down his life for? That's me. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. Say, God has laid down his life for me. So that's the greatest demonstration of love. So I'm a partaker of that. So no matter what your Monday looks like, your Tuesday looks like, your Thursday looks like, your Sunday looks like, remember that God has laid down his life for you. The implication of that means his spirit is on your inside. That's a seal, evidence of love. Seal and proof of love. Say God loves you. Say God loves you. You know, you should say this more often to yourself. Just wake up in the morning and just say, God loves me. That's why sometimes in local church, how do we sing this song? We can say, I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever. How else can you sing that? You love me forever. You love me forever. You love me forever, God. Oh, you love me forever.
You love me forever. You love me forever.
So if you wake up tomorrow and say, God, I don't love you again. Well,
He loves you forever. He loves you forever. He loves you forever. Oh,
I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. Yeah,
forever. 'Cause He loves me forever. I love Him forever.
So your love for God is a response. So when it comes to love with God, who is proactive? God is proactive. Who is reactive? You are reactive. We react. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning?
Yes.